Next case is 2010-SC-832, People of the State of Colorado versus Nicolette Padilla Lopez. Both parties ready? Thank you. I think argument is set for 15 minutes. Is that, Si, is that correct?
No, it looks like an hour.
Let me see.
Wait.
Yeah.
An hour? Apologize, an hour, half hour per side. The appellant will have to keep track of their time.
That's what, it could be that my caption sheet is wrong there.
I think we're a little screwed up here. Don't count that as an admission.
So what do council think they're getting?
Yes, thank you for correcting us, correcting me, and Justice Hobbs. So 15 minutes per side. Just, you'll have to, petitioner will have to keep track of your time, and please state your name as you begin your argument.
May it please the court, I'm Christine Brady, registration number 24779, representing petitioner, the people. The issue on review today is whether the Department of Human Services is a victim within the definition of the restitution statute, and that definition is any person aggrieved by the offender's conduct. The first thing I'd like to address is the factual dispute that arose on appeal. If we're in agreement that in-home therapy is what was requested here, the reimbursement was requested, the $19,000 was all in-home therapy. There were no ordinary costs within that $19,000. Now, in the answer brief, the defense seems to think that was not clear from the record. If that is not clear from the record, then a remand can correct that, because that is my understanding. I do have a cite, and that's the transcript of November 10th, 2008, and it's CD page 40. It's the placement agent, the caseworker in the placement agency, testified that, she clearly testified that the billing in question for the $19,000 was for in-home therapy for the children.
We don't have any agreement between council and the parties about this issue?
I thought we did, but in the answer brief, the defense stated that it was unclear.
Oh, is that part of the record, what you just read?
Yes, it's in the transcript.
I mean, it's been certified up to us on appeal?
Yes, yes. It's on the CD.
Thank you.
So we are talking about extraordinary expense, and I'll get to that in a minute. So to interpret the definition of victim in regard to government agencies, we have one case. That's People v. Dubois. In People v. Dubois, this court said that the phrase aggrieved by in the definition of victim is not limitless, and it's not intended to include ordinary expenses of law enforcement.
So are you willing to stipulate that if we involve the foster care costs and all that stuff, that'd be a different argument? You're conceding that that isn't restitutional?
Could you please repeat the question? I didn't hear the first half.
I'm totally confused now about what we're about to hear. Are we looking at the government costs involved with foster care, or aren't we? And would you concede that those are not placeable within the restitution amount?
Okay.
Under the statute.
Okay. We are looking at all of the costs that are paid by the Department of Human Services for foster care, and in addition, additional services.
So you're arguing the whole thing is restitution?
In this case, they're only asking for the in-home therapy, which is services under a different, a separate statute from the regular expenses of foster care. Maybe I should just clarify there. The regular expenses of foster care would be food, shelter, clothing, and regular medical expenses. And when I say regular medical expenses, those are the expenses that are not caused by the defendant's crime. Here we have child abuse. The in-home therapy was a result of the damage to the child by the mother's crime of child abuse. Does that answer it, Your Honor?
Oh. I'd look at the cert question. Whether the Department of Human Services is a victim within the meaning of the definition of victim in the restitution statute. I don't know what set of facts we're dealing with here to be able to write an opinion.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You should go ahead with your argument, but I think this is pretty incredible that we don't have the facts before us agreed upon by the parties, including the Attorney General, as to what framework we're being asked to address this statute in.
Okay. We can start with perhaps the Court of Appeals opinion. When they address this issue of whether the Department of Human Services is a victim, they said no. They said no because the requested amount for reimbursement was incidental to the Department of Human Services duties. And that's really the question. Does that help?
Nope. Okay. The victim would be the children in case we're just talking about the therapy.
Correct. Okay. I'll go on when I was going to talk about if we're going to apply Dubois.
I'm sorry, I'm so confused.
Okay. In Dubois, we have the primary victim of child abuse is, of course, the child. The Department of, let me just say DHS for the remainder of the argument. They pay the ordinary expenses for the child. And that is for placing the child in foster care. And the expenses of foster care are just ordinary expenses. So that's food, shelter, clothing, anything you would need to provide for the child, absent some kind of crime. The extraordinary medical expenses requested in this case was, I believe, family counseling. Although it is true that the record is not entirely clear, it may have also included some kind of diagnostic medical medical diagnosis for the children and individual therapy for the children. To the extent that that's not clear and this court needs that information, then the case would need to be remanded. Does that help any? Okay. As I was saying, the reasoning in Dubois here is that aggrieved by does not include ordinary expenses of law enforcement. They carved out an exception when a police officer is the primary victim of the crime, and in that case it was vehicular eluding, but that is covered because it's a discrete scenario where the officer is actually the direct victim of the crime. It's an element of the crime. Well, we have the same situation here as we've already talked about. The primary victim is the child. And DHS is basically stepping in almost like an insurer to pay these extraordinary medical expenses for the child. And they're extraordinary because they were necessitated by the defendant's crime.
I have sort of a procedural and record question, and that is, it sounds like my understanding is she pleads guilty to a couple of counts of drug possession, misdemeanor theft, misdemeanor child abuse, she sentenced for probation.
Right.
As I read the trial court's order, the restitution request did not come in the child abuse case. It was actually filed in the drug possession case. And I'm just basing that on the criminal case number here and the order that was issued. So I'm curious as to how this argument plays out, that the DHS is somehow a victim in the context of a drug possession case. I can almost follow the logic in the child abuse context, but not for drug possession. So help me out.
Yeah, I see. The restitution hearing was actually all about the child abuse. and the Department of Human Services. The possession and why it's probably there is because it was because of her possession of drugs. Also, there were many charges that were dismissed here. She was basically selling drugs out of the home, and the children had access to these drugs, needles, and that type of thing. And it was basically a drug den. So, yes, possession of drugs is the underlying crime, but the restitution is based on the child abuse.
That was filed as a separate case, and that's why I'm confused why the restitution request is coming in the drug possession case and not the child abuse case, which was filed separately on a separate criminal case number.
I don't know why they did that.
Okay,
at the restitution hearing, it was all about the child abuse. Child abuse. And that is why they were requesting the restitution, the $19,000.
Are you arguing at all that just because it doesn't really matter where you bring the case or where you bring the restitution request? Because the argument is that DHS is a victim for purposes of child abuse, but I can nonetheless raise the restitution request in the context of a totally different case?
Well, like I said, there were a lot of charges that were dismissed, and I think the attitude with this case was it was kind of a global disposition. Yes, it was different case numbers, but I believe she pled guilty to everything all at one time, and the plea agreement said that she agreed in a general way to pay restitution in all cases. So,
Ms. Brady, excuse me for interrupting, but in the Court of Appeals opinion, it has on page 1, it said in the plea agreement, defendant stipulated that she would pay restitution in all cases.
Yes.
Is that accurate? Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And I don't know if that answers.
Thank you.
Could I just follow up on that then? So what was the child abuse based on?
The child abuse was based on she was possessing drugs in the apartment where the children were being raised. She was selling drugs out of the apartment. She had people coming and going, buying methamphetamine and other drugs. There were syringes and other drug paraphernalia on the floor, in her purse.
So the child abuse was as a result of the drug crimes?
Their exposure to the drug crimes and in the home, and that's why they were removed from the home.
And what was the relationship between the treatment for which restitution is sought and the drug crime?
Basically that the children were damaged by being exposed to the drugs. We don't have a very detailed record, as you might be able to tell. But it was basically because they were exposed to the drugs, they needed to be taken out of the home. And in order to, the purpose of DHS is to always try and keep the children in the home or get them back to the home. Here, the children had to be placed in foster care. And the purpose of the in-home therapy was to work with the mother and to counsel the children so that the children could eventually get back into the home. And at the time of the restitution hearing, it had run up a charge of $19,000.
Which the county paid for entirely.
The county paid for entirely, and I wanted to make one point about that. Again, that is not included in this statutory fee that the parents have to pay that's based on the child support guidelines. That fee is for supporting the child. It's not for special services like the
therapy. And that issue hasn't been decided in this case.
Correct.
So if this had come up in a DNN context, obviously the DHS wouldn't be trying to get any money back, right?
If there was no crime involved,
right?
That's correct. They just eat the cost. There's a loss, but there's no vehicle to recoup because the restitution statute doesn't come into effect until there is a crime, which is what...
So if DNN, because these are, the costs that you are seeking are essentially the kinds of things that you might be doing in a DNN proceeding, trying to get the family, keep the family intact and whatnot.
Exactly, and in that case, they would just eat the costs.
Sure, so what you're almost asking us for today is to say that if a DNN kind of situation escalates into a crime, then the agency sees itself as a victim.
Correct.
And wants its costs back. But if it's doesn't reach that level, it's not a victim and it won't get its costs back.
Right.
And so what is it about it becoming a crime that turns the agency, the defendant being guilty of a crime, that turns the agency into a victim?
Because it's the intent, and I believe the trial court found this, it's the intent of the legislature in the restitution statute to hold criminals accountable, and the other purposes, deterrence. In this case, this was not a woman who needed these services just because she was poor, because she couldn't take care of her children. These children were placed in foster care because she committed the crime. So there's deterrence, there's rehabilitation, and there's also accountability. I see I've run out of time.
Certainly can finish.
Okay, lost my train of thought there. I was going to say the general purpose.
The services, the accountability.
Oh, yes. The general purpose of DHS is to encourage people to come forward, and this is in that MS case that's cited in the briefs, people to come forward and get help because it is the best interest of the child. But in this case, there was no coming forward. That's not how the children got placed. It was as a result of the defendant's crime. Thank you, and I would ask that you reverse the Court of Appeals.
May it please the Court, my name is Michael Mattis, registration number 37869, here on behalf of Mrs. Padilla-Lopez. I'd like to start my argument and comments with some of the factual dispute and some of the Court's questions and the Attorney General's argument, and then I'll move into my case. As far as the dispute about what is included in this $19,000, I think if you look at the transcripts and you look at what the trial court found, the money was for both money for foster care, the care of the children, housing, food, and all that, and also the cost of family therapy. And the family therapy, in the transcripts also reveal that the family therapy was a little, some of it was for her drug abuse and drug addiction, and the harm that left on the kids in a neglect kind of sense. But the other part of the therapy was for attachment issues that the children had from being taken from their home, from their mother, and not seeing their mother for several months while she was in jail awaiting sentencing in this case. So it's kind of a mixed bag in the facts there, but I think and as far as the cost of foster care and the cost of therapy, it's not delineated anywhere. The defense counsel at the hearing asked, you know, how much of this 19 is for foster care and how much is for cost of therapy, and none of the witnesses could answer because it was just given in a lump sum $19,000 number.
Follow up with an assertion you made. You indicated that the in-home therapy was based on the removal and the attachment issues. Is there a factual finding as to that, or is it just, I mean, it seems to me that on these DNNs, the family therapy is for a myriad of
right.
issues with the family. But is there a specific factual finding that it was based on DHS's removal?
No, that's what the DHS person testified to. The court did not make a specific finding.
She said it was for the removal.
She said it was for attachment issues that came from the removal of the children and also what happened before. And when she says what happened before, I take that as, her, you know, the drugs
lifestyle.
Being in the home and, you know, that kind of thing. But, and there could be other issues. We really don't, the record doesn't reveal what, you know, specifically the therapy was for.
Okay. Legally, counsel, before you move on, legally, what difference does that make to your argument?
Well, it matters when you're trying to figure out whether these are the ordinary expenses of DHS or whether they were extraordinary expenses which DHS should be entitled to recover. And that comes from the ordinary versus extraordinary distinction comes from this court's Dubois decision.
Right, but you don't think that you can recover in any event, correct? Because they're not a victim?
No, I think if they were extraordinary costs, you know, such as the case when a person fraudulently receives welfare. Okay, the Department of Welfare is a victim in that case because it's not in their ordinary course of business to be paying welfare to people who don't deserve it. But in a case where they're ordinary expenses, it's the agency's job to take these children and care for them after the court orders them in the DNN proceeding, then it's an ordinary cost that cannot be recovered through restitution.
Counsel, on that point, it strikes me that as I understood the distinction, it was more that in that fraud context, the agency itself is
who is
the direct victim,
right.
and the primary victim, sort of akin in Dubois, the primary victim there of vehicular eluding of a police officer will be the police officer.
Right.
But here, I thought you were drawing a distinction that what's going on here is that DHS is not a primary victim. It's simply doing its job. There's a reimbursement process going on, but that's covered by Title 26.
Right.
Am I misunderstanding?
No. It's the problem is... you're right. In the welfare context, they are the direct victim. But then I'm saying my argument is that if you're an indirect victim, like DHS in this case, you still can only recover if they're for extraordinary expenses. If they're for ordinary, you can't. Okay? And my second point is the point that you brought up about the possession being the underlying crime in this case. And the plea agreement specifically shows four cases. And if you look at the restitution hearing, the court specifically says that let's proceed on the felony case. And the prosecutor specifically says, I am only seeking restitution in the drug possession, in one of the drug possession cases, and I am not in the other drug possession case. So I think it's clear that the underlying felony in this case is the drug possession. Now, it was never argued that child abuse was the underlying felony until the Court of Appeals decision came out. They made that up for some reason. It wasn't even disputed. And then the Court of Appeals threw that in, and that's where the child abuse comes from.
So you think the Court of Appeals was correct?
No, I think they were incorrect on that one point.
Okay, right. So what do we do here now? How do we sort this out? What kind of opinion do you want written?
Well, the opinion should be written to with the underlying crime being drug possession and DHS being a victim of that drug possession.
You would concede that the cost of this therapy could be recovered if it can be sorted out of how much is allocated to that? Yes or no?
No, and here's why, too. This is another distinction that I was going to get to. Therapy, okay, at the restitution hearing, the DHS person says that therapy is part of what she termed it as core services that DHS provides to families who, you know, when they have to take the kids out of the home. When you look at the DHS statutes, the Human Services Code, the code, it's 26.5.101 and 26.1.201, the code specifically says that core services and costs of foster care are included in DHS's That's in DHS's realm. That's their purview. That's what they do. So I would say even if it is for therapy, therapy is an ordinary expense of DHS, and so it cannot be recovered as restitution.
Counsel, would it make a difference in this if hypothetically, the children have been sent to a private therapist? Would that private therapist be entitled to reimbursement under this situation? And if so, shouldn't the state likewise be entitled to reimbursement?
I think it's a totally different question with a private person, because a private agency or a private guardian, they are not paid with public funds. Their business is to make money. Here, the whole reason why we should treat government agencies differently is because they're funded by taxpayer money, by the public, to do a certain job. And in this specific case of DHS, their own statutes provide them a mechanism to get back a little of the money, but not the whole money, because the goal is we don't want to break these people. They're trying to get back on their feet. They are trying to get their family back together. They're recovering from drug addiction. We don't want to put this huge debt over their head. So I think when you're looking at a government agency, it's a totally different analysis than a private.
Yeah, I guess I struggle with that a little bit, because in both cases, what's going on there is you have child victims, right? The victim here, the child, needs therapy as a result of, you know, the consequence of defendant's actions. Mm-hmm. And in the private context, you're saying, okay, that victim receives private therapy services, and we're going to require the defendant to go ahead and reimburse that private therapist as part of the defendant's giving back or paying back or being accountable for the defendant's own actions. But then when those same services are provided to the same victims, but they happen to be provided by the state, the defendant is not required to be accountable? Or what's your answer to that?
Well, the distinction is when you apply the aggrieved by language in the restitution statute. When the private person is spending money for the care of the children, that comes out of their bottom line. They're aggrieved by the conduct of the offender. When DHS expends money, the government agency DHS expends money for the care of the children, they're not losing anything. They're doing it on behalf of the public, not on behalf of the bottom line.
So you're viewing the victim then as literally the private therapist is the person who's been aggrieved, not the child?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, don't you think you ought to help us out with a little statutory construction here? I know you mentioned the word aggrieved.
Right. Okay. So, of course, we should start with Dubois, because that was where this court had previously construed this restitution statute. And in Dubois, this court held generally that incidental expenses incurred by law enforcement are not recompensable as restitution because the government agency, the sheriff's department in that case, in most cases will not fall within the meaning of victim. Now, there was two reasons why the government agency won't fall into the definition of victim. Number one is there was no indication in the restitution statute itself that the legislature had intended the sheriff's department to be a victim in restitution cases. Number two, when a government agency spends ordinary expenses, such as when the sheriff's department spends money to investigate crime, that agency is not aggrieved by the offender's conduct. And that conclusion is based in part on the statutory language of the restitution statute, which includes costs for the remediation of a drug site. And this court reasoned that without the statutory language concerning the remediation, meaning if that were not in the restitution statute, the government agency that performed the remediation would not be a victim that was entitled to restitution because, and I quote, the government agency is not aggrieved by the production of a controlled substance or by having to clean it up. In that case, the real victim is the public at large, and the remediation costs incurred by that government agency charged with that task are suffered on behalf of the public. So here, like in Dubois, there's no indication in the restitution statute that DHS, that the legislature intended DHS to be a victim. And DHS is not aggrieved by Mrs. Padilla-Lopez's possession because, or by having to expend its ordinary expenses to take care of dependent and neglected children, because in this case, the real victim is the public, and DHS's costs are suffered on behalf of that public. The same thing as the remediation reasoning can be applied here.
So can I just stop you there and just try this, if this is what you're arguing? I mean, essentially, you're saying all the costs in this case are ordinary costs.
Right.
Are you arguing that there could never be extraordinary costs, or just that they have not happened in this case?
Yes, Ron, just that they have not happened in this case, and they have not been proven to have happened.
Okay,
in this
case. So really what we're talking about is, I mean, I'm just trying to find an area of agreement here, and perhaps we're, both sides are in agreement in the reading of the statute that an agency can be a victim if it has incurred extraordinary expenses, and where we have a disagreement here is whether the expenses incurred are extraordinary.
Yes, that would be, that's fair. Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Now, one of the...
Mr. Mattis, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
If we talk about the difference between ordinary expenses and extraordinary expenses, would the ordinary expenses be the salary of the caseworker? That's going to be incurred whether this case happened or not, right?
Right.
Okay. Would extraordinary expenses be that they placed these children in foster care and the department was billed $800 a month for every child that was in foster care? Would that be an extraordinary expense because it was incurred in addition because of this case?
No. Well, the way I look at it, Your Honor, is an ordinary expense is money that's expended by an agency to do what it's supposed to do, like law enforcement spending money investigating crime. That is law enforcement doing what it's supposed to do, and so the money they spend, that's ordinary expenses. And in the same way, DHS spending money to take care of children that are dependent and neglected, that's what they do. And so it's an ordinary expense.
Ask a follow-up. May I go? Okay. Let's use the eluding example. If you had an eluding and they hit a guardrail and did damage, would the Department of Highways or whoever fixes those things, I mean, their job is to maintain the highway, would they be entitled to the damages to repair that guardrail?
No, again...
Because it's just part of what they do.
It's part of what they're tasked to do, and that's part of what the legislature gives them a budget to do. In conclusion, Dubois provides a reasonable framework within which to analyze the government as victim restitution cases, and this court should apply its reasoning here, as did the Court of Appeals. Thank you for your time today.
I want to thank both attorneys for your arguments and the briefs, and the case will be submitted on the briefs.